Hello and welcome to another week of Sky Blue Stories. Whether you want to be with us or not, after a relatively unsuccessful weekend in the results department, City FC men going down 1-0 in the Sydney Derby, and in the A-League women's, the girls going down with a late fight back, but going down 3-2 nonetheless to Melbourne City, who, funnily enough, both of those sides sit at the pointy end of both their respective tables. Tonight on Sky Blue Stories, it's myself, Jonathan, with Michelle Morris and Sean Maloney. Sean Maloney, how are you?
Yeah, I'm all right.
That's good. Happy 21st birthday for Saturday, Sean.
It's depressing. I'm getting older.
I feel like you've been on Sky Blue Stories for 21 years, so you might be a bit older than that.
That's it. Yeah. Was it been 4 years now? Just the clag holding the team together.
The clag. Just the clag. And Michelle, your voice has returned.
Yes, my voice has recovered for the most part.
It's nearly 100%.
Nearly, yeah. I got a bit of a cough, but that's all right.
Okay. As long as it's not COVID, you're good. You're good. A big weekend in Sydney FC fandom. We had some green shoots on the weekend. There was a couple of firsts that happened on the weekend, Sean. One of them was the debut of Sydney FC left back Jordan Thompson.
Yeah, we got the American defender joining us after, you know, with what she was playing in the Israeli league, and we know what's happening over there at the moment. So we've got her on a bit of what, say, it'd be a short-term deal. Curious to know.
Injury replacement.
At Tobin. Interested to get your guys' thoughts. You saw her there in the flesh on Sunday afternoon. Not your typical stature when it comes to a centre-back.
Played out on the left. Michelle, you have a little bit more information about Jordan, coming from Washington Spirit, really.
Yeah. When you told me the news, like, I was like, oh, Washington. All right. So I messaged a friend of mine who, supports Washington overseas. So I was like, bro, give me all the info. Give me the goss. What's the news? Spill the tea. But, yeah, just from what I heard, she was a good player, probably deserved to get a few more minutes, had to kind of change club last minute and ended up with us. And I think, you know, it's too early to tell, but she's obviously started off on the right foot. And
she started well. I wonder, I was a bit surprised to see her come on at left back.
Same.
I wasn't sure if that was her position or outside back, as the American calls them. So I'll be interested to see if that's sort of where she's deployed. We're hoping that Kirsty Fenton's back soon. Maybe with this international break, we get Kirsty back on the other side. But I mean, clearly, you know, if she is an out and out centre back and she's come on and done a job at left back, versatility, you know, that won't hurt.
I guess my question as well is, where does that leave Jess Seaman? Does she stay with us? You know, has she signed a contract? You know, were they not expecting her to do as well? I think maybe Ante was expecting to put Margot in that centre back role, but then Jess has done a fantastic job, in my opinion. Yep. And obviously with Kirsty out and then, you know, wanting some fresh legs, he put, you know, Jordan Thompson in that left back position. So
after landing on Thursday.
Yeah. So very fresh legs and very tired legs. But I mean, she got a goal on debut. So
fine. She got the goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wonder what happened.
A good goal celebration video in that short time that she's been here. They already had her filming the goal celebration. So they've done well.
Have you got a good call and response as well?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's true.
We're celebrating. That was actually good. One of the highlights.
There were so many. There were so many. So, yeah, Sean. So, yeah, I guess this is a signing that we sort of called out a little while ago. And, yeah, from what we understand, you know, initially Jess Seaman was only signed for the Asian Champions competition. And she's obviously been retained. So whether that was, you know, just waiting for Jordan to get in the country to, you know, I don't know. I guess the next few weeks we'll see.
Might be, you know, maybe it's a good problem to have. Because, you know, now we've got three centre-backs, essentially, with Margot, Jordan, and Jess Seaman.
Yeah, just and Charlotte.
Pegging order to kind of pair with Charlotte going forward.
It'd be interesting. And from what we saw of Jordan on the weekend, you know, again, you know, if she's come on as a wing-back and centre-back's her more known position, that's the exact sort of player that Ante likes. He likes the versatility and players that he can sort of, you know, move around when required. And unfortunately, the state of our squad with their injuries at the moment is definitely needed. So I think you're right, Michelle, though. I think Jess has done a fantastic job, and it'd be pretty harsh not to keep her signed on at this stage.
But a lot of other little bit of news. Good news, Jada's been caught up into the Matilda squad to face Canada and a little bit of a friendly, two friendlies, is that one or two?
Yep, two friendlies.
Dos, and another familiar face or familiar name, Remy Simpson as well, because they've been hit with a little bit of a, I don't know, injury, a crisis of their own with, who's out? Well, Sam Kerr's out, help me out, Michelle.
Charlie Grant, Mackenzie Arnold. And
that was a fourth one.
That was another one. Emily Van Egmont? No. I don't know. I can't remember.
Someone.
Yeah, so hats off to
Holly McNamara.
There you go.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Sarah Hunter called in today too.
Yeah, another old head, another old familiar name. Sarah.
Old head.
Old head.
The old girl, head. Sarah Hunter.
So, yeah.
Full of senior experience, that girl, that woman.
Remy, or old head in terms of Sydney FC, but Remy and Sarah are good, joined. So
good to see Remy get back involved.
Places, yeah. How's Remy doing with Leicester?
She's getting minutes. So she was injured. She got injured at the start of the season, which was really frustrating for her. Because I don't know if you guys know, but when I was overseas, I actually got to see Remy and have a chat.
Did you go overseas? Were you overseas?
I was in Europe. I don't know if you guys know.
No way. No way. Shit. How long were you there for?
Oh, I was only there for a month, you know.
Oh, my God.
I know. You're so good. But anyways.
We see some photos?
Sorry?
See some photos?
Oh, yeah. I've just posted some photos on my Instagram, Michelle Morris TV. Yeah, so she got injured at the start of the season, wasn't able to play, has been doing rehab since, and she's been back in the squad. She's been getting a number of minutes. I think she started in one game, and then she's been coming off the bench in a few of the other games. But, yeah, getting some minutes in the legs, which is really good, which is why I think, you know, that might have been a reason why they selected her. But I don't know, with Sam out, maybe – we do see Remy get a start. No Sam and no Holly Mack. So,
Can you talk to your other WSL kind of friends and get the likes of Maddie Haley and Mackenzie back? Because particularly the latter, as in Mackenzie.
Yeah, it'd be good.
And she wasn't even in the squad in the last game.
Can't even make the team. It's getting no minutes. Just bring her back.
Yeah, just give it back to us.
Liverpool. I think you can you can probably hear about that on some other podcast, Michelle.
Maybe Talking Tillies?
I heard it's a decent pod.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Talking Tillies, look it up.
Look it up.
go on, Sean.
Oh, and last but not least, Charlotte McLean, 50 games in Sky Blue.
That's crept up, hasn't it? Crept up. Although, speaking of old girls, like she probably is one of the, you know, definitely one of the more experienced now. You know, we've got Princess Sabini obviously out in front, well out in front in terms of current fit squad members. Nat Tobin up there with over 100 appearances as well. But then there's a really big gap of about 50 games, you know, dropping to the likes of Jada Wyman, Charlotte McLean.
Darter might be creeping up on 50 now.
Who knows? Yeah, I think she's just over. Maybe not A-League women's performances, but yeah, she's just behind, I think. So, yeah, Charlotte's done a fantastic job. Obviously, she was rewarded recently with wearing the captain's armband in a game.
Did she score on the weekend, or we decided what's happened there?
Well, let's save that for the game. We'll debate. But no, congrats to Shah. 50 games, awesome achievement.
We sat behind her on a train. Didn't even say hello.
Creep.
Creep.
Wow.
Just stares at her.
Distance good enough. The ADO was still in effect. Yeah.
Social distancing.
So that's it. Yeah. Shall we get to the our cauldron, our fortress, fortress SOPA. Sydney Olympic.
SOPA.
On the weekend, we had a 3-2 loss at home, using the inverted bunny ears there, to City. Came back at the end, gave it a good red hot go in the last 30.
Sure did.
Then the heavens opened up and they disappeared for what seemed like an eternity.
It didn't feel very long.
No?
Well, no. You were
not through it, were you? Or...
No.
Did that stunt our momentum a bit when we came back on? Because, you know, it was 3-2 at that
point. No, it was 3-1. It was 3-1. 3-1.
We had just scored, and then they delayed the game. And I was like, excuse me, what is this, like, conspiracy?
No one knew. Everyone was looking around going, what's going on? Because, yeah, it wasn't, like, there was no torrential rain or anything. And it was dark, but it wasn't, you know, pitch black sort of thing. I think the lights had just come on.
I had to leave the beach and watching the game on my phone.
What, you think it's because of your birthday you're not going to a women's game?
Yeah. But can I, before we get to the breakdown of the game, what was it like there at Fortress SOPA at Sydney Olympic Park?
I'm calling it a fortress.
Or, was it at least better than what you were thinking? Or was it worse?
I think so.
There was a bar.
Mm.
Good
selection.
I think in the corner where we were, it didn't feel like you were actually that far away, especially when they came to do corner kicks. Like, it was still pretty close. And the field actually, like, the pitch looked really good. So, like, it honestly wasn't as bad as I was expecting. There were people on the hill. It wasn't, like I said, it wasn't the worst. It wasn't that bad. Would I do it again? No. But
I think the fact 4,000 people were there helped as well, Mish.
Yeah. If there was like,
the stand.
Yeah, if definitely, because the grandstand was like packed. And if there wasn't that many people, it would probably have been a lot worse. But because there was a decent crowd, it wasn't the worst.
Exactly. I echo those sentiments. Close to 4,000 people, Sean. If you had been there, would have been closer.
And Nick,
who promised that he'd come and didn't, but you know,
fake fan.
Dogs on the hill.
Yeah.
But no, it was a good day. A big shout out to before we talk about the game. Shout out to the I'm going to say Korean tourist group. Who rocked up in numbers, in force. There was about a dozen of them with an Aussie tour guide. And
what did they get lost? They were like on
these
park authority tour, and they just
these Sydney FC super fans
really
had what looked like you know, Bilo or Lowe's plain white t-shirts with giant Sydney FC logos printed on them right in the middle. And they all wore them with pride. And I just thought it was great that a tour operator has gone, you know what? Let's take them to a Sydney FC A-League women's game.
Are these the SOPA same fans we saw in Qatar for the World Cup, like during the...
No, I don't think so. But they didn't speak a word of English, so I'm not sure if we've had any former... Well,
football Korean is everyone's language.
...players, but...
About it. Yeah.
Well, we did the call and response into their bay.
Yeah, they get involved.
So, I think so. Everyone else was, so...
I think I messed that up one time.
Oh, everyone did. No one listens to me.
No, it's really hard. You need to be a bit taller. Anyway.
I'm standing on this chair, but whatever.
Let's talk about the game. Let's talk about the game in a bit more detail. Obviously, like we said, still no Courtney Vine, still no Kirstie Fenton. I thought it was quite cute that I think I said to Michelle on the weekend, I heard two or three parents have to tell their kids that Courtney Vine wasn't playing today, which was kind of cute. But it also sort of says a lot, I think, about, you know, the profile now that Courtney's got.
Well, especially she was produced by Sydney Olympic, Jonathan. So,
yes, that's like saying that we produced Zach Sapp for having him for 2 months. But no, it was very sweet to hear the mums and dads sort of say, "Oh no, Courtney's not playing today." And hey, at least they knew that she wasn't playing today. So that was a good point. We had the same lineup, Michelle, I believe, that was up against Adelaide United the week before. So fair enough, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, it worked last week.
Mm.
I don't know. I feel like we played better last week as well. We looked a lot more lively, at least in the first half of the Adelaide game. The second half was terrible, the Adelaide game, but the first half was really good.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And I don't really think that we played terribly in this game either. I think it took a while for them to kind of start gelling, and unfortunately that came at the cost of three goals conceded. And, you know, only scoring in the second half.
Yeah. First half was a tough watch.
Yeah.
And City, they took advantage of some chances. They've, you know, got an Olympico, which only seems to happen to Sydney FC women. And then, you know, that brilliant clearance off the line by Tori Tumuth, you know, and it just fell to a City player and Daniela Galic, I think it was, and she put it in the top corner. And that was right. That was the last kick of the half. You know, you go in at 2-0, that's a 3-0 is a big difference. It's a big difference. But to the girls' credit, they came out and, you know, we saw Jordan Thompson come on, and I think we saw Zara Kruger come on at halftime. Or was it Sienna?
Sienna, I think.
Sienna came first, and then Zara.
Yeah.
Later on.
Might have been Sienna Savesco.
Arte's, you know, wielded the axe a little bit.
I think they needed it too. I think, you know, from where we were sitting anyway, it wasn't working. It just wasn't working, whatever they were trying to do. We had a couple of sights on goal, but, you know, nothing really, really meaningful. Shea Connor's got the ball stuck under her feet a couple of times. I'm so surprised. That's probably one of the biggest shocks of the A-League women's season so far, is that Shea Connor's hasn't scored a goal.
Disappointing.
Mm.
Hopefully it's coming after the break. I feel like at this point now it's like the mental game. It's like she's probably getting frustrated that, you know, she wants to score a goal but can't. So
yeah.
Is it because she's playing a little bit more wider as opposed to playing a bit more of a nine kind of central role that she would have been more familiar with in the past?
Yeah, true. That could be a factor, because obviously Fiona Wirtz is probably playing more centrally. So might be something.
Mm. And Fiona's in great touch as well. Let's talk about the goals. We got our first in the 73rd minute. And Jordan Thompson was off a set piece. Speaking of Sienna Savesca, putting one in from a fair way out, put it in the mixer. And Jordan Thompson on the left-hand side was in the right place at the right time, and tidy finish.
Yeah, it just deflects the ball and just guides it where it needs to go. So good little bit of maturity and wisdom there to know, you know, whether to deflect the ball and just use the pace of the ball. And then not long later, we got the Charlotte McLean goal.
Initially,
18 Keane. I don't know.
Initially, it went down as 18 Keane, and I was giving it large to Michelle because she had a go at me for predicting things that weren't happening. And I told her that 18 Keane would score a goal.
You also said it would happen and that we would get a goal
within 5 minutes within of coming back on. Yeah. And it was.
But you also said that we were going to have a great comeback, which didn't happen. So,
well, I mean, it was good. Maybe it wasn't great, but it was good.
It was the hope that kills you.
No, but
other people are also saying that it should have been, you know, counted as 80s? An own goal.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I don't think that works because the goal, like Charlotte's kick was on target. So
yes,
if the defender and Aiden Keane aren't there, that ball is still going in the back of the net. So that's why I think it goes down as Charlotte's goal and not Aiden Keane's.
So it comes down as to whether it was a deflection or the defender was actually taking, like trying to clear it or something. But yeah, give it to Charlotte. It's a first goal for the club.
Give it to Charlotte. She deserves
it. First goal, 50th game. Trying to match Captain Nat scoring in her 100th game in the grand final. I reckon we'll give it to Charlotte McLean for that one. I think Charlotte was one of the players that whenever we've got our backs against the wall, I really feel like she just absolutely digs deep and she comes up big and puts in that extra effort. It's a really, really, really good quality to see, especially in a center back. But you know, she's not afraid to take a few touches, take a run forward with the ball, maybe creep a bit forward and try and, you know, keep the ball in our attacking half. I've just noticed it's something that she does, you know, quite often when we're pushing and trying to find something or get the girls going. So really good signs of leadership there. And at the same time, you know, not leaving us exposed. Always seems to get back into the right position. So yeah, no, great stuff from Charlotte McLean.
It could be her year to be Members Player of the Year.
Could definitely be.
Well,
don't like losing though.
Both of you though. So Cheryl, like it's certainly not alarm bells. You know, going down 3-0, nice mini comeback. It's not alarm bells. I'm not calling for Ante out. God no. But would it be fair that perhaps the Sydney FC faithful maybe start to kind of temper their expectations of the girls this season on the back of, you know, the Hunters and McKenzies and Haleys, et cetera, not being there anymore, a lot of new faces. And then on top of that, you know, Courtney injury at the moment, Kirstie Fenton injury, and, of course, the Tobes injury. Should we just kind of go, okay, look, you know, last year and previous years we've destroyed teams. You know, we've won 4-0, 5-0. We've grinded out wins. You know, more often than not, we're taking 3 points away. But so fair to say that probably won't happen this year. And we just maybe kind of temper our expectations a little bit.
I've been saying since, like, all these players have left, like, I've been pretty much saying since the start of the season, like, my mentality is, and I said this to Adam Santo as well before the season started, that, like, I'm okay if we don't win everything this season because we have a brand new team, essentially. Like, it's a very young team. It's a new squad, and they're going to have to learn how to play with each other. Like, you know, I trust Ante completely, and I think that he knows what he's doing, and he's, you know, knows how to build, like, a good squad and use these young players. But at the same time, they are quite young, and, you know, trying to communicate with them might not work the same way it did last season. I think people might need to take a step back and realize this isn't the same team with Hawksby, with Madison Haley and Sarah Hunter and everyone, you know, in that squad. We are also missing our captain. So I think, you know, yeah, maybe people might want to just be a bit more realistic. Like, I think we'll still definitely make finals and we'll still definitely have a successful season. But what success looks like might not be successful as it was last season, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said. Jono, echoing those thoughts, very wise, Michelle Morris.
Yeah, look, definitely. I think Nat Tobin is a massive, massive loss. Especially as the side is so young. You know, losing your most experienced player, your captain in the first round is just huge. It's you know, you think a few years ago in the men's team with Bratton doing his ACL in preseason against Sydney Olympic and how that season turned out. No matter how you try it, it's very difficult to replace such experience and such a senior player. So I think the only other thing I'll add is I think some of the teams have definitely stepped up in terms of their quality this year. And, you know, you can see that with Perth Glory and Wellington Phoenix currently sitting second and third. They've lost three games between them. And Glory only lost their first game on the weekend to Wellington, I think it was. So, yeah, it's some of the other teams have stepped up their game, which is good to see, But, yeah, I still think we're good enough to give the competition a shake. Absolutely. Just probably need a little bit of luck with some injuries. We're on a win-loss start, so that means we're going to win next.
Absolutely.
It'll be very difficult against Newcastle.
It will. They've signed some players.
I know. I'm so angry. I miss the days of Newcastle being bad.
Van Egmond. Sarita Bolden. Yeah, thanks. Thanks very much. Anyway, all right. Shall we talk about the next pressing topic?
We have to.
7:45 it was at the other fortress. Not really.
Not really.
Certainly not at all. Derby, certainly not in Derby terms. We had a 1-0 loss to the Scum. Certainly won the best TIFO award. That was absolutely positively stunning, and the theatre and drama of how it cascaded down from the top tier was gave me goosebumps there in the stands. It was
we were told Sean by some people within the club and the fans to expect a pretty decent TIFO, but yeah, absolute hats off to the Cove, to anyone that contributed to that. To everyone that puts money into the TIFO fund, because you know all of that money goes to extremely, extremely good use, and what a sight! I mean, that's all time, you know. Michelle, I think I said the only shame about it was that the performance didn't really match the TIFO.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that's so frustrating because I guess. We can only control what happens off the pitch. We can't do anything about, you know, the performance or, you know, what happens on the field. But like, yeah, I think hats off to everyone who helped out on that TIFO because it looked incredible and like everything about it was, just a really good job. And I think, you know, that's a lot of hard work that's been paid off and. Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, people don't realize how much goes into it behind the scenes. You know, it doesn't just appear out of nowhere. It's a lot of hard work and
It's not a weekend in a factory, you know, sitting on the floor painting things. It's, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of work that goes into it. And I think the boys did a really good job getting it all sorted and getting it together and getting it into the stadium as well and not in the Parramatta River. So, they did a really good job, and I think they deserve the credit that they're getting and the love that they're getting from the league socials. The thing that's very frustrating and very silly is that like people are still thinking that a stolen Freddy Krueger design is better than that one.
Oh, but I haven't seen anyone say that.
Oh, don't worry, there's plenty of West Sydney fans who still think their Freddy Krueger TIFO is better than ours. Mm.
Can barely remember it, to be honest.
I don't know if I've seen other A-League clubs do TIFOs, certainly not to the extent that we do.
Wanderers try,
but I'm like, you don't see the Brisbans or the Jets.
Victory used to do them. They usually do them for like their big games as well, so like their derbies or big blues. They usually do card displays.
Fans. Yeah.
Brisbane's getting their group back. Slowly, so I think they'll probably start to do something.
You don't remember Paddy Kisnorbo and Aaron Moy for City, sure? No? You don't remember the Patrick Kisnorbo and Aaron Moy one from Melbourne City?
No.
The Aaron Moy one is the classic.
sort of like ET.
Yeah.
That's very good. Yeah. Anyway, like you guys said, yeah, absolutely all the plaudits. I just wish the team responded a bit more positively with that sort of show of support. But anyway, let's talk about the performance on the field. I wasn't there. I'm a fake fan. Not really. I'm a single parent.
Same thing.
Yeah, same thing. You guys were both there. What was the overall feeling? Because obviously coming off a 5-1 win for the boys, we had the international break, new coach. I imagine most people would have been feeling pretty positive despite the Wanderers being undefeated going into this.
Past derbies, I'm normally, regardless of how we're doing, I'm always nervous. I'm always a little bit pessimistic, and I know that's not normal of me. This time around, I was actually quite positive. And I was like, I think we could, at the very least.
So that's why we lost.
Yeah, get a draw. So lesson learned, don't be positive.
Never.
Expectations, always.
Michelle, what was the feeling in the Cove?
Were
everyone focusing on the TIFO, basically?
Well, I was at the back.
Yeah.
I was at the top. So I didn't really, I wasn't there for like the start of the Cove. And then when I got down, I think people were just stressed and just, no one wants to sing. No one wants to do anything. Everyone's just watching the game and stressed, and it doesn't really build the atmosphere and doesn't really push your team. And I think that was very frustrating. And then, we concede a goal and everything just kind of goes flat and no one wants to push it, despite, the fact that, they were getting to a point. I feel like the team was getting there. They were just missing, that goal. So yeah, overall very frustrating night.
Let's address that, because Cove's come out already on their official socials and said thanks for the support and the TIFO work and everything else. But they also made a point of calling out non-active fans in the active area. I think I saw a comment, and it's from one of the usual suspects that we call out on this podcast, and I hope he doesn't mind, but Grant Muir was responding to someone sort of saying, oh, that the post from the Cove was a bit harsh, like, should be a bit more accepting of people being in that active area and they can sort of do what they want. But I think, as Jube said, and Mish, I think you made this point as well in a chat we had, if there are so many other seats in the stadium that you can go and be non-active, right? Like, the active area is to be active, and you should be expected to take part.
Got a responsibility.
So the comment that Jubes made was, you don't see active fans or active groups going off to the sidelines and being active, because that's not the area for people to do that, right? So it's the same thing as if people come and just sit there and have a nice cup of tea and, expecting people not to swear and whatnot. Like,
telling people to sit down or something. I'm trying to watch the game,
put the flags away. And
active, it's an actual designated active area, and how the bay is set up is so you can stand and so you can cheer and you can be active. Otherwise, there's bays left and right.
Exactly.
Above the tier. The other parts of the stadium for you to sit down and enjoy the game and enjoy it in the way that you want to. So if you're not going to stand and cheer in the Cove, you've got 90% of the stadium to go enjoy yourself. So, yeah.
And this is a problem that's not just the Cove. I think this is a problem that a lot of people have in a lot of active groups around the country, because we've had this problem in the Matildas active as well, where people buy tickets for the section because it's cheaper and it's just a GA sort of area. So they go and they want to be a part of it. And yeah, so the problem is that it's a safe standing area and people think that they can still just sit on the railing, even though we're not supposed to sit or stand on the railings. Like, that's one of the you know, things that security keep, you know, hassling us about is, you know, don't stand on the railings, don't sit on the railings. They're not there for that. They're there for you to hold. So like when you want to jump up and down, and so you don't fall in front of the person in front of you as well. So like, yeah, I think it is really frustrating, and it's becoming a problem where people want to be in something so that they can put it on their Instagram or on their TikTok or in whatever video that they're making. And like for the most part, I don't care. If you stand at the back and you've put your phone out for 2 seconds, you grab a clip and you put it away and you get back to singing, fine, so be it, but because you're at the back. But if you're in the middle, like when I've been, you know, doing it for like women's games, you can see everything. You can see everyone just sitting there on their phones, you know, not participating. And like, it gets frustrating and it gets so demoralizing because it's like, am I the only person doing this? Am I the only person who cares? Like, is this, does no one else want to join in? And it's like, the thing is, the people who are listening to this podcast, they're all going to have the same opinion and they're all going to be like, okay, well, yeah, don't be in the cove if you don't want to be active. Go sit down, go find a seat, go buy a ticket in the seats. But the people who need to hear this are the people who are, you know, the ones who only show up for the derbies. They're the ones who only show up for the big games because they don't know any better. They don't know
the entire Wanderers active end. Only show up for the derbies.
I didn't say that. But
they had more fucking fans there than they did get to their home end at their home games.
It definitely looked like it. But so did we. You know, we sold out those three bays. You know, we don't normally. And, you know, that's not an attack on us or on the Cove, but that's the facts. Like, yeah, we always get people coming in for the derbies and for the Big Blue.
On the flip side, like, again, I think the Cove's post probably came across a little bit negative to some people. But if you want to be in that atmosphere, like, help create it. Like, be in it. Imagine those three bays sold out and every single person contributing in those three bays. I mean, it would be, you know, next level. And again, I think, you know, most of us on here are old fogies, apart from you, Michelle. But we remember back in, you know, the halcyon days where it was nearly three complete bays, the Cove, and everyone was getting involved. You know, we do call and response to each other because the bay was so big and there were so many people involved and wanting to be involved. So, yeah, I guess my two cents is sit there, but sing and contribute. Otherwise, sit on the sidelines.
And the thing about, like, yeah, I've had other messages from people being like, the Cove's post was too negative, too mean, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I get it. Also, like, a lot of the people who are running it are quite young and they're already disrespected by people in the Cove because they're young, you know? And it's like, imagine their frustration as well. Like, people don't want to listen to them. People don't want to do what they tell them to do because they're younger than them. And they're like, oh, bring back Slowey. We want Slowey. Blah, blah, blah. It's like, Slowey, but Slowey's not coming back.
Not even special events anymore.
No. But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think where part of the problem is that people just don't want to respect this leadership group because they're just like, oh, they're just hooligans who all wear black. And that's what it is.
They do wear black a lot.
Yeah, but what's the problem?
Slimming.
Got any blacker? very good. Very good. Sorry, I took us off topic. I think we were talking about the game, but maybe it's better to talk about that shit than actually, you know, what happened on the field.
Some random scored and we lost.
some dude scored some goal towards the end. Yeah. Fuck yeah. Where do we go? I think it was, can you say an honourable loss? I don't know.
No, I wouldn't go that far either. Like, yeah. I don't think we played badly.
I don't think we played well, though.
Well, either. But, and this is going to sound really, and I think you agree, I think I spoke to you at this on Sunday a bit, Jono, but they weren't that great either. And I know that sounds like petty as well. And, oh, they weren't, you know, but
they weren't that great.
they're not that great. They don't have somebody up front. Like, they had Barella and he went off. I hope he's done something, done ACL or something, prick. But and that annoys me even more so. Their best player goes off and he's an opportunity to really, you know, put the foot to the pedal and dominate. When we didn't do that, I just found us a bit impotent. Like, we had plenty of possession, plenty of field position, but that last pass or two, that killer pass, that decisive ball through, it was just not happening. We didn't really test Lawrence Thomas.
Well,
a couple of instances.
We had two gilt edge chances, which we'll talk about in a sec. But yeah, you're right. Impotence is probably the right word. But I think the game, you could see some improvement on Corica ball. I think it's safe to say that it was nice to see something a bit different. Even when we went to a back three at the end, like, I liked that. I really liked that. I was very concerned about who was in that back three at the time. But yeah, honorable is not the right word, but
we're going in the right direction. But this game sits somewhere between, obviously, the Adelaide win and the initial three losses we had. Like, if I can put them in one group and the Adelaide win in its own group, we're sitting somewhere in between those two. Yeah. A couple of things about the game. I was happy with the starting 11. I was glad that Talle went, all right, you know, give the guys a good pat on the back from the who got a great Adelaide win, and I'm glad that they started again. I wasn't too happy with Zach De Jesus coming off. Or was it half time? I thought that was a strange sub. I think he was just kind of looking to get Grant on, but I thought Zach.
I didn't notice, but someone said to me on the weekend they thought he was getting torn apart a bit. I didn't notice overly, but I could be wrong. I was, you know, had one eye on child rearing. But yeah, I was surprised that he started, to be honest. I thought he would have gone with the more experienced Ryan Grant to start the game and you know, in the derby and try and I guess put their best foot forward early. But he's done the opposite.
But in terms of those kind of gilt chances that we had, a nice firing shot. I thought JK's shot outside the box, it just flashed past the post. I love that, seeing that little bit of
the first half.
Yeah. But Lolly had a nice shot towards the end of the half, you know, cutting in a bit tight towards near post. There was that little bit of something there. But I thought going in at halftime, nil all, I thought, yeah, that was probably a fair result or fair outcome of that first half and where it stood. The JK chance in the second half, early-ish in the second half, like any other
time. That was our chance.
Yeah, any other time JK puts that away 99.9% of the time, and it was just, he just played it, like his first touch, that first instinctive reaction, first touch was beautiful. Just played it a little bit too much back towards where the ball came from the scuff shot or pass, whatever. You know, if that happens again this weekend, like, he scores that. So, unlucky.
Yeah.
Would have put us up on the middle. That changes the game. And
As I think Simon Hill said on the commentary, you know, it very much had a very classic derby feel. Like, no one wanted to sort of make a mistake. You know, everyone was a bit cagey. And the chances were pretty much at a premium, and you're not going to get a better chance than that to score from a Lawrence Thomas mistake. I don't think Lawrence Thomas has made many mistakes in his career, let alone in a Sydney derby. And yeah, he just gets a leg out and denies, I guess, a little bit of a fairy tale. And
there was minimal chances, you know, for both teams. But
he had JK had another chance, which he created for himself about 5 or 6 minutes later, which was almost an equally as good chance. But I think defense got across and sort of scuffed his shot. But his lead up work to get into that position was great. sadly, I wasn't sure. Maybe Talay saw that his confidence was a bit shot after that and pulled him off the field.
Pulled him. Do we want to talk about the goal, though?
Not really. No, we better.
Yeah. Look, well taken by Sapsford, a Sydney FC Academy product. Not quite.
We produced him.
Yeah, we made him. Yeah, well finished. But look, what led up to it? And I'm not pointing. Well, I will point a finger.
Point fingers.
It was Grant's fault. not necessarily the reason why we lost. Like, it was technically the reason why we lost the game. Yeah. But like, we could have, should have done more before then. After that, anyway. But it reminds me of the second goal that we conceded against City. That same instance of a really bad read and defense, pushing up on an opposition player with the ball, you know, when he didn't need to.
I think that's the one that was that the one that Corica threw him under the bus?
I think so.
In the post game, he sort of said, I think Ryan shouldn't have.
Yeah.
Ryan shouldn't have come in.
Yeah. So a really bad read. I think it was both times with Jake Gerwood Wright, but in this instance, he didn't need to. He's gone in for the header. Which then left, who did leave free? Was it Sapsford or no?
No, I can't remember. Someone passed the ball off to him.
And then lays it off to him, and then he does
some dickhead
back to curl it around Redders. So not little to nothing Redders can do in that instance. So no doubt I think Ryan can redeem himself. I don't think this is the end of Ryan Grant. But in saying that, I think that it's time for a change or a bit of a transition.
It's good to see I guess, like you said, Zach De Jesus get some backing from his start in Adelaide. And you know, that transition is the word that you've got there starting. So,
but we've seen Grant drop off a bit in the last season or so, but there hasn't been a really good replacement for him. And then Keeley,
well, they all left,
and we all jizzed in our pants.
There were replacements, Sean. They left.
Oh, Talbot, of course. How can
Talbot, Aiden Simmons.
Yeah.
And this has been the problem. This is part of the problem of the Corica era, and it was alluded to again on the official A-Leagues podcast this week, I think by Davutovic. He said, you know, this has been the problem, that the youngsters just haven't seen any light in terms of having a career at Sydney FC or having even, you know, bit parts to play over the last 4 or 5 years that Bimby's been in charge. And
I would love to know
Steve enough.
Thinking about that. Like, why was he just so fervent on not giving youngsters a chance?
He obviously just didn't think they were good enough.
Or maybe obviously, he just didn't trust them enough. Probably one of those things of like, okay, well, I know these players can definitely play.
It's a safe.
Yeah.
Agreed. And to be fair, a lot of those players had won him two comps in a row, right? But it was just the fact of not being able to, I guess, notice that and you know, maybe regenerate a bit throughout. So early signs from Uffie are that maybe he's going to do a bit of that. Doesn't help that Max Burgess is unavailable. Does help that, you know, JK gets his first two starts in his professional A-League career. So, you know, it's good to see. Can we talk about another negative? Sorry. Jordan Courtney Perkins. I've been pretty...
Who?
Been pretty... Well, there was another player that got that treatment on the weekend. But he's yet to come on and play centre-back, which I think is it must be his preferred position. But I've been really, really, really underwhelmed by his performances so far. He looks a yard off the pace. He's not getting in good defensive positions. He's tall. Like, that's good, I guess. I don't know what you guys think, but I know Joel King came off with cramp, I think, as well. So, and Ryan Grant had already come on at halftime, so we were pretty short on options. But I don't know. He just doesn't really look up to Sydney FC A-League standard.
No, not at all. Not at all. I think it was still a while away from it. I think it'll be, what, February, March, the NPL season? I think you might find him playing for the NPL boys, and I think that's...
Young enough? I don't know. He's Ollie Roos. He just went away with the Ollie Roos. Look, there's got to be some sort of a footballer there. He keeps making national teams. He got a contract in Poland. Thought he had a decent season last year with Brisbane Roar as well, from what I saw, but just been really, really let down. He just doesn't look like he fits at all. And when you've got a player like Keely Adamson that you haven't signed, you compare that to the two. That's just one of the great mysteries. But anyway.
And Jack Rodwell, but, you know, that's another player that is non-existent. But
we don't even talk about him anymore.
Yeah, what a waste. What a fucking waste.
Don't even talk about him.
Shall we jump to some SFC? What is it called again?
SFCU?
My speech impediment. What do you reckon, kids?
It's a hard one. Red has got man of the match, I think, from the Sydney FC socials. I don't know. It was a really hard one to pick any standout people. I think Kacharski got in good positions, but again, he kind of cost us some points, I think, by not finishing one of those two chances, which is harsh. And his reaction says it all when he got pulled and he put his head in his hands and sort of put his head down. You know, this kid loves the club, absolutely loves the club. We've sung his praises, but, you know, he was extremely disappointed, and I'm sure he still is now. And but, you know, that performance doesn't define him, that's for sure. And he'll be back bigger and better, and he'll score plenty of goals for Sydney. Don't worry about that. Just an off night, sadly, in front of the Sticks. I'm rambling a bit. I don't really know who to give votes to when I go through the lineup. I can't really pick out any standouts.
You want to abstain?
Yeah, I just don't think there's anyone there that I can call out.
Yeah, I don't know if there's anyone worthy of points. I thought Lolly toiled away. I thought Gabriel was solid. JK, despite, you know, I thought he was quite good. But otherwise, everyone was a bit meh, a bit kind of underwhelming. Yeah. Zach was all right. I thought Zach was all right, but I don't know if I'm
Robbie Mack, Sean?
Fucking hell, man. Like he's like every chick on online dating, just ghosting. Like I'm calling him Casper from now on. He fucking does nothing.
Like, I think that's a bit harsh. I think he was getting into some good positions, and I think he was putting in some good crosses. The whole team was a bit flat. I think there was really, for me, only three players that stood out. But
who are they, Michelle? Tell us, because I honestly find
probably
it hard.
For me it would be, yeah, Redders, JK, and Joe Lolly. I think they were the only three for me that were like noticeably, you know, playing well.
It was a bit sad that it was very much a pass the ball to Lolly and inshallah, like. That came out towards the end. And then when we went to a back three, it became Robert Mack that they were just doing long diagonals to. And you're right. He jinked around and sort of, you know, beat one or two players before inevitably turning it over or trying to cut inside and losing the ball. But yeah, tough one. But I reckon that's you've probably called out the ones worth calling out there, Mish.
I am very happy that Red has had a good game. I think people love to just, you know, shit on him for whatever reason. But I think if Red has a good game, then I'm usually pretty happy about that, to be honest.
Oh, but yeah, absolutely.
I think he kept us in it for quite a while. Nothing he could do about the goal.
Yeah. Fair enough. Sean, did you want to put numbers against anyone or are you?
No.
No, that reaction is good.
I do. I want to say as well, I loved that Gabriel got into it with Marcelo.
Yes.
I really, early on.
Yeah.
I think it was hilarious because I know that they're just yelling at each other in Portuguese and no one on the field's going to know what they're saying except for Fabio. And I think that's hilarious.
Yeah, that was good. And Fabio. Fabio is trying to get the crowd involved, which was good. Geez, Marcelo was unmarked a lot at set pieces.
Oh, yeah, a header or two.
Yeah, and you know, being from the favelas, I'm surprised that he couldn't get a shot on target. Oh,
that's terrible. That's $5.
$5. Damn it! I almost lasted the whole pod.
That joke was very crapoeira.
We should make another one for bad jokes.
I'm paying that. That's good. I'll pay Sean's $5.
That's it. I'm out. Take care, everyone.
All right. So we win one, we lose one. I think we are still well down the table. I think we're 10th or something. So yeah, pretty shitty. Chance to redeem ourselves though. Did anyone else want any more 2 cents on City Derby? No. That's the less said the better. Good. Sydney FC versus Perth Glory, one of the many home games we have coming up, making up for the lack of in the first 4 or 5 weeks. Saturday night, 7:45 p.m. Same bat time, same bat channel as last week.
Games this season, Jono. A lot of 7:45s.
There is a bit. Are we expecting anyone back? I don't. Burgess groin. I don't know if that's going to be good. We haven't heard anything about Jack Rodwell.
Who? Yeah.
You know, I'm sure they said all of November he was going to be out. Well, that's what Corica said at one point. So I don't know. It'll be interesting. Perth haven't had the best of starts to their campaign. And away from home, we know that I think they've won one game in the last 12 months away from home, something like that.
So they're due,
and we're going to get done 4-0. I don't know. They've still got some dangers. I'm not sure if Taggart was back, but, you know.
They lost to Brisbane on the weekend.
Taggart's still a very good striker.
Sitting on 4 points. They've had a loss, a draw and a win, so, yeah. Marginally ahead of us, but you know, these are the kind of games that we need to pick up 3 points, especially teams that I think it's fair to say they'll find themselves somewhere in the bottom half of the table. Perth,
six teams on one win. Wow. It's nuts, isn't it?
Yeah,
six teams on one win. Do you see us doing anything different, or do you see us just sort of rolling on, Michelle, in terms of the Uffi Talay ball or Taliban ball, as Sean coined last week?
I don't know. I don't know how much more we can change. Like, we were kind of talking about this on the weekend as well.
Just get better at what we're doing.
I think it's more than like, who are you going to switch up? Like, who do we have? Like, we don't have anyone on the bench. Like,
That wasn't noticeable, wasn't it?
There
was no real game changes on that bench.
I don't know if he's going to, you know, put Kachasi on the bench or something. I don't think he should. Do you start Paddy Wood? I don't know.
That's the only change you could make.
Do you start Ryan Grant? Probably not. Not after the goal.
I can see your logic, like in terms of game changes, Jono. If you were to start Ryan, I see Zach not so much a game changer, but somebody who could come off the bench and
inject
a little something if we're a bit flat, you know, two-thirds or something like that.
Fresher legs.
Yeah.
Young legs.
Yeah, that's how I could see. But the only thing I could see that could kind of give us a little bit of oomph is if Max were to come back, he finds himself on the bench, or he starts and JK comes on. But, yeah.
I reckon it's going to be just do plan A better type situation, like still trying to get the tally ball, you know, set in and you know, a few different rotations and things like that. I think Ulfie said he was reasonably happy with what they were doing in terms of listening to what he wanted them to do. They just didn't have it down yet. So, look, I think it's a great opportunity for us to bounce back and to maybe come up against a slightly less organized side. If there's one thing about USB merchants, I mean, one thing about Rudan coached teams, that a bit like Popovich coached teams, they're quite organized. Yeah, it'll be a good chance for us to bounce back. I'm actually predicting a bit of a performance in this one.
Well, with all due respect, and this could come back to bite me against a lesser team, here's an opportunity to flex some muscle, you know, really play some innovative, creative football and just take it to them. So I'm expecting a pretty solid win, some really good attacking football. Probably Lolly doing what he does best and just carving teams up. I don't want us to, like we saw a bit too much on Saturday night, becoming a bit too one-dimensional. Chucking it over Joe cutting in, scoring. Joe, you know, like he can't be our only outlet. I liked what I saw in the Adelaide game, you know. Joe had his brilliant moments and then he was putting things on a platter for like Fabio, and then JK had his moments. So if we're going to do well this season, we've got to have multiple threats across the park and not just channel to Joe Lolly.
Big to get Fabs more involved again.
Yeah, he did little to nothing on Saturday night, and that wasn't his fault. It was just nothing was coming his way. Maybe
we've still got two wingers that want to cut in and have a shot.
And then like, Fab might only come into play in those instances if the keeper fumbles it and he can, you know, tap it in or something. But yeah, we need a little bit more, a bit more versatile and dynamic in attack, instead of play it to our wingers and then they cut in and shoot and cut in and shoot. Yeah. Teams will know how to, you know, play that in defence.
Watch Adelaide game, do same as Adelaide game.
Yeah.
Simple. Everyone got involved. Through the middle, from the sides, everyone made the right decisions. It sounds simple, but like blueprint, just do that.
Yeah.
Michelle, should we win?
I mean, ideally, that would be nice.
It would be nice, especially because the girls are on a break again.
Yep. Another break. I feel like it's just like one game a week.
I know.
Not even one game every 2 weeks. Something.
Yeah, exactly. And we've still got some games to make up too from being away. Yeah. So they'll come thick and fast at some point. Sean, score?
Jonathan. I was going to say 3-0. I'm going to be a little bit conservative and I'll just temper my expectation. I'm going to say a 2-0 win for Sydney, that is.
Michelle, confident or not so much?
No, I think pretty confident. I agree. I'd probably say 2-0 as well.
All right. We've still only scored in one game out of five, which is a bit concerning.
Lost our only two home games this season, but, you know.
Ugh. So we're going to win 4-0.
Ah. Yeah, real fortress.
It. I reckon we walk it. I reckon we'll win this quite comfortably. Minimum 3, possibly 4 or 5. I think.
Have a bet, Jono.
I think I will. The Chris Howell's classic bet, $10 on 4-0. We'll do that. I'm just confident. I think we'll do all the things that I just said. I think we'll execute the plan a bit better. Better ball speed and actually finish some chances would be great too. So that's it, kids. Look forward to a win this weekend.
Mm. Hopefully.
Definitely not going to come back and bite me in the arse. It'd be good if we got a squad update though. Hey, on like Rodwell and Burgess, because the club in the last couple of years has been very, very good at keeping injury secrets. But it'd be great if we sort of had a bit of a time frame there. It's a bit early for this. We're only 5 games into the season, but do we think Talay coming in at the stage that he has, do you reckon he's sort of gone, or he's already got looked at a few players and gone, January's a nice time to find another club?
Who would you say?
I reckon he would have had the chat with the club already about, this player doesn't necessarily fit what I'm trying to do. This player doesn't fit, and I need these type of players or these couple of players. His record with Wellington was excellent at identifying, you know, foreigners and potentially budget foreigners, bringing them in and making them work to his system. So I just think, I don't know if January's too soon. Like, we've only got sort of 3 or 4 games before that window opens, but it'll be interesting to see. Like, these guys should be playing out of their skins at every opportunity they get if they want to stick around, I think, because I don't think he'll be the sentimental type. Like, I really think he'll want to bring in some players that he wants.
Yeah, I think he's plus, and I like that.
Not necessarily that he's inherited. So, yeah, and it should be a huge motivation for all the guys to be playing and playing their hearts out. So,
great.
Yeah. All right. Happy days. Not really.
Not
impressive
really.
Days. No. Yeah, pretty shit, actually. But I had a wonderful weekend, and on a Sunday, Michelle, with being active with the women's game.
You were active, eh, Jonathan, so I'm glad
I was. It's the most active I've been at any game, I think, for about 5 years, so that's good.
How are your knees?
Sorry?
How are your knees?
Knees are okay.
Everyone sat down.
Okay.
I only got people to stand up, like, twice.
Yeah, that's true. Why was that?
Because I know that if I asked people to stand up, no one would.
Oh, that's sad. Well, I tried, Michelle. I tried. This 37-year-old man tried. Okay.
I appreciate it.
That's good. Thank you. I think I made loud noises every now and then. But yeah, I think that's might be us. Any general business? I think we're good. Sounds like we're closing a board meeting here. Taking minutes. Yep.
Yeah, Nick was an apology. Just an apology.
Nick's just apologizing for life. Michelle, can we catch you on Talking Tillies this week?
Yes, I believe so. If it goes out, I believe our audio engineer is overseas, and I don't know if he's getting them up or not, but yep, I think so.
Let's hope he's getting it up. That'd be – so the Tillies play on the weekend?
They play this Saturday at 2:30 p.m.
They've arrived in Canada, most of them, I saw. So
yeah, I think they should have all arrived soon enough.
Very good. We'll jump across and search for Talking Tillies to hear Michelle on there. If you haven't had enough MMTV content on this podcast, it might be a bit happier, the other pod, I dare say. Shawnee boy, thank you. Have a wonderful rest of your birthday week.
Oh, yeah. I'll try.
And we'll be back to review the Perth Glory game and talk about everything else Sky Blue next week.
Yeah.